This podcast is a Majestic Giraffe production. For more information and more content, visit majesticgiraffe.com.
But I was going into Toshi Station to pick up some power converters.
The droids are clean, the vaporizers are patched, and the speeders fume. It's time to pick up some blue milk and power converters. You're listening to Toshi Station Radio, brought to you by the Majestic Giraffe Network. Now here are your hosts for the Snarkiest Podcast in Star Wars and Geek Culture, Brian and Nancy.
From the outskirts of Anchorhead and on the shores of the Great Chott Flats, you're listening to Toshi Station Radio, the bright center in the universe for all things Star Wars and geek culture. I'm your host, Brian, and with me, as always, is my co-host and wife, Nancy.
Hi!
On today's episode, we're chatting with Jay and Jonathan about, you guessed it, the teaser trailer. We're about to get started, so sit back, grab some power converters, and enjoy the show. And before we dive too much further in, we've got some guests on. As we said, we've got Jay.
Hello.
And Jonathan.
Hey, everybody.
And one at a time, where can we find you guys online, and what are you all up to in the Star Wars community?
Well, I can be found at 1138.com, where I blog, and I can also be found at theforce.net's literature boards, message boards, where I am a moderator there.
I'm so sorry, Jay.
And I write for forcecult.com. And I'm also on a podcast on the Far, Far Away Radio Network called Legends and Lore.
Awesome. And we hung out with both you guys at Celebration, and it was a fabulous time. And
yes, it was.
Yeah. We won't delve into everything we did at Celebration, because that'll be turned into an 18-hour show.
And because some things that happen at Celebration need to stay at Celebration.
Yes.
Particularly everything that happened in the Hilton bar. Everything.
Yes.
So for the next couple of weeks, Toshi Station Radio is going to be a little different. We've got a whole lot of Celebration news to catch up on. So we're going to do a couple shorter episodes every week, featuring some new guests each episode to recap all of the happenings at Celebration. And we're kicking it off with Jay and Jonathan talking about the teaser trailer this week. Before we go too much further, we do have a note from our sponsors. Toshi Station Radio is brought to you in part by Audible.com. Listeners to this podcast can get a free audiobook by signing up for a free trial. Click the link on Toshi-Station.net for more details.
And we're also brought to you in part by Her Universe. Flaunt your world with Star Wars, Star Trek, Marvel, Transformers, Doctor Who, and other fandom-inspired wardrobe and jewelry. Click the link on our blog to purchase awesome geek gear and keep the lights running on the podcast.
And with that, we are going straight into our discussion topic of the week. No fixers flash, no news, because there is no additional news to talk about, at least nothing we're going to address right now.
Well, I mean, fixers flash is pretty much we were at Celebration.
Yeah, we were at Celebration. That's going to be fixers flash for the next 3 weeks,
yeah,
so
we
deal
were at
with
Celebration.
It.
We're still catching up on sleep.
Yeah, we are still catching up. And our discussion topic this week is obviously the teaser trailer. Teaser trailer number 2.
AKA the best teaser ever.
Yes.
It was so good. I still can't get over how good it was.
This is not the best teaser ever. This is just a tribute.
What?
Come on, really?
What?
You don't know that reference?
No, I don't.
Fine.
What is it from? What is it from?
Not even.
Aww.
Not even going to.
But yes, so if you've been living under a rock lately or not have been paying attention to Star Wars news, which why are you listening to this podcast? There was a new teaser trailer that came out at Star Wars Celebration. It was during the Force Awakens panel that opened the convention on Thursday morning. As everyone suspected, they ended by showing us a trailer. I think a lot of us were expecting that the panel itself would be pretty light on news and not very exciting until the very end, but there actually was news that they shared with us during the panel, and they had a lot of guests during the panel. But first of all, I just want to start out by we asked Jay and Jonathan on because they were in the main stage. It was actually happening. Brian and I, unfortunately, were not in the main stage. But I just wanted to ask the both of you before we start talking about the news and everything, what was it like being in there and like the atmosphere? You know, I mean, we could hear it just from the live stream that it was crazy.
Well, this is my fourth celebration, and I have to say that I've never had a celebration like this before. I expect, you know, you expect certain things. You expect everyone's into Star Wars and having fun, but the amount of energy and anticipation in that room was astonishing. And I just remember sitting there with everyone just gleefully awaiting the trailer, and as each new guest was brought on board and as each new person was brought on board, and especially as BB-8 rolled on, everyone just got more and more and more amped up. And by the time the trailer actually aired, I didn't realize that my excitement could get to a higher level, and everybody else around me was feeling the same level. And they actually had to repeat the trailer because we were so loud and excited that we couldn't even hear half of the thing.
I'm glad you specified that BB-8 made everyone super excited.
BB-8's the hero of the movie, as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely.
And Jonathan, what about you?
Yeah, unlike Jay, this is actually my first celebration, and not just that, but it's my first con.
What?
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
So the entire thing was overwhelming. I was in line for, 6 hours before we actually got into the stage.
Yeah.
So I was exhausted, and, you know, nobody knew exactly what was going to happen. But as soon as JJ came out on stage, and Kathleen Kennedy, the room just started building and it never stopped from there. And the thing that struck me, and it didn't hit me until I got back home, was because I was in the stage, I only got to watch the trailer as a fan. Mm-hmm. If I had been at home, I would have watched it 10,000 times. I would have gone through it frame by frame, which I did eventually. But there, you know, they showed it twice, and that's all I got to see it for the rest of the day. I didn't have time to sit down and watch it. And I think seeing it that way was, you know, surrounded by 7,000 other people who are just excited as you are. That's the perfect way to see it.
Yeah. Yeah. We were in the digital stage, which was the second biggest room. And mm-hmm. even then it was still, you know, there was a lot of cheers, a lot of applause when BB-8 came out. Everyone kind of gasped, and mm-hmm.
Although I think you and I were the most obnoxious.
Yeah,
people
we were the most. There. Yeah, we were definitely us and our friends. But I mean, it was hard not to get super excited, and then the trailer came on, and I said I was actually glad that we ended up being in that room because we could actually hear everything.
Yeah.
But and then they showed it again. So,
although I do have to say that at the very end of the trailer, and I'm sure people have already heard the trailer, so I'm not spoiling it for anyone, but people were cheering so loudly, and then when it went blank and the word Chewie appeared, it went dead silent. You could hear like a pin drop in the room. And then when Han and Chewie appear on screen, then you had the most deafening cheer of all. So there was still a bit of, you know, a simultaneous emotional reaction to hearing the word Chewie and anticipating him on screen.
Yeah. So before we go through the trailer, we'll talk about the panel itself. And I think the first piece of news was that the planet in the trailer, or in both teasers, is not Tatooine, as people were predicting, but is actually a new planet called Jakku. And it looks to be one of the main places of action in Force Awakens. And we learned later on in Celebration that the Battle of Jakku takes place about a year after Return of the Jedi and is one of the main set pieces of the Battlefront video game. So if you play Battlefront, you can play through that battle. And I'm angry because this will probably make me want to play Battlefront or at least watch people play it so I can see what the story is. But
so does that mean I have permission to pre-order Battlefront?
Yes, you do.
Yes.
I like that it's a new planet because I liked the prequels, but the fixation on Tatooine kind of got annoying after a while. I like expanding the universe. Haha.
I see what you did there.
Yeah. But I and that shot of the this is getting ahead of ourselves, but the shot of the X-Wing and the Star Destroyer was just incredible. And I'm really looking forward to seeing more of the planet and learning about what happened there. And then they had two of the droid builders come out that they had hired from Celebration with R2-D2. And then the star BB-8 came out, and I think everyone kind of lost their shit. It was just, he's adorable. And I love his voice.
That's BB-8 was one of the most magical things Star Wars has produced in years.
Yeah, I agree.
And it's literally magic. There's no type of engineering that could produce that thing.
Nope. I don't want to know how they did it.
Yeah, I don't want to know. I just choose to believe magic.
Yeah.
And then
it's magic and Disney brand pixie dust.
Yeah. And if you were lucky enough to see the exhibit, the Force Awakens exhibit, mm-hmm. the little model, X-Wing model, had little BB-8 in the back of it. So that's kind of exciting. I'm looking forward to seeing space battles with BB-8 or land or whatever, X-Wing battles with BB-8 in it, because he seems kind of snarky and cute. So then we got the three leads come out. John Boyega, Daisy Ridley, and Oscar Isaac. And that's always fun.
Can we just limit the press junket to those three?
Yeah. Well, no, I'd like to see the other ones, but it's always fun because, when new people get involved with Star Wars for the first time, I don't think they realize how crazy we all are until they go to a celebration. And they actually told us some things about their characters, which I don't think any of us were expecting, Rey is a scavenger in a ship junkyard, and she's self-sufficient, and she meets up with another character, and they set off on an adventure. So, pretty sure we can all figure out this is Finn, judging on the teaser. Mm-hmm. And then Finn, they roundaboutly confirmed that he is, in fact, a stormtrooper, at least when the film begins. But something happens to him, and the decisions he make ends up changing his life forever. It's very dramatic sounding. And then Poe, as Oscar Isaac described him, is the best freaking star pilot in the galaxy, which made me laugh. And he's sent on a mission by a certain princess and eventually meets up with Finn's character. So, of course, certain princess, we can all deduce who that is. And that was mainly the bulk of the news from the panel itself. And they brought out some of the new stormtroopers and then the older cast, Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, Anthony Daniels, and Peter Mayhew. They didn't really say much about their roles. But I think they talked more to Carrie about, being Leia and, it made me hopeful because it seems like Leia is going to actually have a substantial role, even if she's not in the movie as much, which makes me happy because I kind of feel like she got the short end of the stick in the original trilogy.
And then after they brought out the main cast, we got to the main event, which is what we're going to be talking about extensively.
Yes. We have no notes for the teaser. We're just gonna go hog wild, cause I don't know about you guys, but I started crying as soon as Mark Hamill started talking, and didn't stop the entire way through. I'm not ashamed to admit it.
Of course not, but no, let's break this down from the beginning.
Yeah, let's go.
We start with this panning shot of this desert wasteland.
Well, no, first we start with the new Lucasfilm logo.
Yes, the new Lucasfilm logo, which is pretty nice looking.
Not the Disney logo. So take note, fake trailer makers.
I want that 90s VHS logo.
You're
in there.
You're not going to get it, so just stop.
Okay, but then we go to this desert wasteland, and it slowly pans across. You see Rey's speeder way out there in the distance. Then you get this wrecked X-Wing, which had me going, ooh, and
yeah.
You pan a little further, and there is a beached Star Destroyer
and
just sitting there.
And literally Brian went, oh my god! really loud. But I can't make fun of him much because I think everyone kind of had that reaction.
So, yeah, that I'll turn this over to the panel, certainly started the trailer out with a bit of a bang.
Yeah.
I think it sets the stage for the actual movie because we remember from the last trailer, we didn't really get much story, but that Star Destroyer, I think, tells more story than the entire previous trailer and possibly even more than the narration because it tells us that there was a great war, there was at least a great battle. The Star Destroyer was destroyed, the rebels did something, and the Empire, is it around, is it not? But it's such an evocative image, just that one ship alone crashed, landed in the desert.
Yeah. And you wonder, like, what has happened since then? Like, and where is this planet? Is this a outer rim planet? Is this an inner rim planet? You know, where is it in the galaxy? Who controls this planet? Like you said, is the Empire still around? Is it just in one part of the galaxy? You know, did the New Republic ever exist? Did it fall? We don't know. And I love that there.
But it just opens a host of questions that we didn't have before.
And I love that.
And, you know, I think my biggest takeaway in just that first pan was, we're back in a very lived-in looking universe.
And the best part is that lived-in universe is the universe we're familiar with. Like, when we saw the original movies, they talked about the Clone Wars as the distant past. Now the original trilogy is the distant past, and that's fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
And we got from the Battlefront press release that the Battle of Jakku was between the New Republic and the Empire.
Yeah.
And there was some speculation around Celebration that was just a site that didn't know what they were talking about. But that's from the actual PR stuff.
Yes.
From EA.
So I would imagine that they know what they're talking about and they're not going to...
Yeah, and it's probably gone through a couple passes through Lucasfilm before it made its way to Celebration.
Oh, I'm sure.
Of course, the question is, if there was a New Republic, did it survive or not? And that's the mystery.
That is the real mystery. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited for that.
And I'm also excited for all of the untold books that can be written between Return of the Jedi and there.
Well, we're getting one Battlefront book that's set during the original trilogy. So it'll be interesting to see if we get more. I'm hoping that we do. But so we get that one shot, which is just beautiful. And the Force theme is playing in the background. And then it fades to black, and there's one lone piano note. And that note just, I don't know what it is, but it's just it just makes you feel so unnerved and unsettled.
Well, I've seen other trailers use that very piano note before, and it accomplishes the same thing in this trailer.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we hear a voiceover.
The voice is strong in my family.
The voice?
Of course. Well, the voice is probably strong in Mark's family. The force is strong in my family.
And it's not a hyperbole to say that as Brian went, oh my God, when he saw the Star Destroyer, like, I seriously...
You buried your face in your hands.
I did. Because I had read rumors beforehand of, I hadn't read rumors beforehand. I had had people tell me rumors beforehand that Luke was not going to be in the next trailer, because I have friends who read spoilers and they filter all the Luke stuff to me because that's all I care about. So I wasn't expecting any Luke for a while. And so when he started talking and had the narration, I lost it, and I was just kind of like, oh my God. And I was like, this is what I've been waiting for. Like, I don't care if this isn't in the movie itself. I don't care if he's only in the movie for 2 seconds. The fact that they use that narration, which is his lines from Return of the Jedi, that means a lot.
And we found out later that that was the audio from Return of the Jedi. In addition, Mark Hamill re-recorded the lines, and that was used as reverb.
Yes. So you hear it, like, when it starts, there's an echo, and then as his lines go on, it gets to, you know, to kind of regular sounding. So we hear black, and we hear the force is strong in my family. And then there's a shot of Darth Vader's helmet bashed in, kind of damaged with the voiceover of "My father has it."
Now let's linger on that one for a moment.
Yeah. So Darth Vader's helmet. We need to dispose of Anakin's body better.
when are we going to learn? We have to dispose of Anakin's body.
So
maybe the Ewoks just put out the fire.
Yeah.
The forest burning down.
Damn Ewoks. So there's a lot of speculation about it, especially because him saying, "My father has it." But I think for me,
that might be reading too much into it.
Yeah. I haven't read anything into that. I think it's just because it's the lines from Jedi. It's like the Revenge of the Sith teaser trailer had Obi-Wan's dialogue about Darth Vader from A New Hope. It just sets the stage. And I think that's just what it was doing here. But I do have thoughts about why they chose those particular lines. But moving on. So there's Vader's helmet. So that's kind of interesting. And it makes me wonder what is going on with it. Who finds it? Where is it? What are they doing with it? Is it like in a museum or?
Okay, who's like going to say it? Who's going to say it?
It belongs in a museum.
Yes.
Oh. It looks like it's in a temple, actually. It's sitting on a glossy black pedestal,
yeah,
kind of triangular shape, which I didn't see in the main stage. I guess the lighting wasn't quite right on it.
Yeah.
It was kind of hard to make out in the digital stage, too, what that was.
Mm-hmm. I thought somebody was holding it at first, but yeah, it looks like it's resting on some place of importance.
That's what I thought, too, that someone was holding it. But then as I watched it again and again and again, I think it's definitely resting on something. So it'll be really interesting to see where that is exactly. I don't really keep up with spoilers or rumors, so I will refrain from speculating. Well, no, I'm going to speculate because that's what we're doing. But so then there's another fade to black. And we get the shot of it looks like a lava type planet or something. There's lava, fire in the background, whatever. And there is R2-D2. And there's a hooded figure sitting next to R2-D2. And the voiceover says, "I have it." And then the figure reaches out and touches R2's dome.
Clearly Boba Fett.
Shut up. And so where I lost it when the voiceover started, that's when I started crying. Because I was like, I was like, oh, really? Luke's not in the trailer? Uh-huh. Yeah, sure, whatever. And to all the people saying it's not Luke, come on. Read into it.
It's 100% Luke.
It's totally. Yeah. What mental gymnastics do you have to do for that not to be Luke?
He's got a robo hand.
And the voiceover has to be intentionally. They're not going to match "I have it" with an image of a hooded figure with a robot hand that's, you know, Akbar or something, you know?
I don't know. White shirt robes might be Kyle Katarn.
No, shush. But yeah, especially because they have, you know, they started with my father has it with the image of Vader's helmet. And then "I have it" is clearly Luke. And like I said, if that's the only shot of him in the entire movie, I'll be okay. Because, I mean, it's him with R2. It's awesome. He's not, you know. He's not evil. He's not whatever. He's with R2. R2's his buddy.
If Luke ever went evil, R2 would take him down for sure.
He would. Yeah. Yes, he would.
The terrain there is very rocky, too. And we know Mark Hamill and Daisy Ridley were filming on Skellig Island.
Yes.
And that looks very, very similar to Skellig Island.
Yeah, definitely. And then we get a shot of some figure, which if you pause the trailer at just the right point, which I might have done a million times, you can see it looks like an alien, handing over what is clearly Anakin's last lightsaber slash Luke's first lightsaber to some person that you can't see their face, but has feminine type hands and is wearing ornate rings that would not be worn by a scavenger like Rey. And the voiceover is, "My sister has it." So I think it's clear that that person getting the lightsaber is Leia, which makes me very happy, because Leia being a Jedi is something that needs to happen.
Yeah, so Leia. Yeah, I think it's a fairly inescapable conclusion. I think I wanted it to be Rey, just because I want an association between Rey and the Skywalkers. But given the narration, given the previous shots of Luke and Vader, I think that absolutely has to be and is Leia.
Of course.
Lightsaber.
If that's Leia, that doesn't preclude Rey from that having that association.
Yeah,
that is correct.
Yeah. Because, and then the next, it fades to black, and the next line is, "You have that power too."
You have that power
Stop.
Too.
Stop. You're trying to make me get shivers. So of course that question is,
who is he talking to? Who is he talking to?
And that's where I wonder, is it Rey? Is he talking to Rey? And I hope so. Dear God, I hope so.
Yes, he is.
Burn the expanded universe for a Skywalker daughter.
Well, yeah, I'm not going to get my hopes up for that. Because I can't. I can't let myself get my hopes up and then get dashed. But
I mean, a Solo daughter would be good too.
I'd also
still
take that, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, I want her to be related to the Skywalkers, because, I mean, she looks like she's, you know, related to Natalie Portman or Pernell August or Carrie Fisher. Like, she definitely has that look that all of the Skywalker women have had. And I, you know, I love Uncle Luke. You know, him in the expanded universe as Uncle Luke is, you know, something I adore. I really want him to have his own kids, you know, but I've said my piece on that. I think I go back and forth on whether or not it's Finn or Rey, because clearly from the trailer, Finn is in some sort of distress and is defecting from the Empire or the First Order or whatever they're calling it now. And it would be really interesting to have, like, someone who's been a stormtrooper realize that they can use the Force. But then at the same time, you know, having Rey, you know, learn to use the Force and have a female go through the hero's journey would be amazing. So I'm torn.
Something that struck me in the panel was when they threw up the three character shots, the split screen.
Yes.
Rey was front and center. And these types of things, especially with J.J. Abrams and Lucasfilm in general, they don't do things by accident.
Yeah.
So if they arranged the images in that way, they probably did it for a reason. And I think her being front and center is telling that this is going to be her hero's journey.
Yeah, I think she's the Luke Skywalker of this series. And whether or not that means she's a Skywalker or a Solo, hopefully. But I think no matter what, she's definitely the central heroic figure that they're building the arc around, which would tie in also to Kathleen Kennedy's comments about having female characters undergo these kind of journeys too.
Let's sidebar to talk about that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I pumped my fist and cheered really loud, and people around me gave me dirty look.
Preface this.
So they had discussed that, you know, in the cast photo, that Daisy Ridley and Carrie Fisher were the only women in there out of 11 characters, and that people did not have a good reaction to that. And they've since, you know, hired some more female characters. They've got Lupita Nyong'o and Gwendolyn Christie. And Kathleen Kennedy, you know, pointed out that, you know, they haven't had a lot of choices for women to, you know, costume or play as, but that's going to change. and how, you know, that, you know, she has daughters, and, you know, the host, the guy who was hosting the panel, said, you know, he's got daughters too, and, you know, that they're definitely trying to improve the slate of female characters to come in Star Wars. And Kathleen Kennedy was wearing a Her Universe t-shirt that she bought with her own money the night before in the exhibit hall, which is awesome. And Kathleen Kennedy is my new favorite person.
So you mean that that bit of backlash that the blogosphere had actually had a tangible effect?
Well, I don't know if it had an effect or if they were already...
But it was noted?
Yeah, it was noted. I mean, they might have been already planning to hire more actresses.
It's almost like that casting announcement could have been handled better.
No.
I love that she came out and addressed that just bluntly. I mean, she didn't beat around the bush at all.
And they didn't have to.
No, she didn't. Yeah. Nobody was talking about it anymore. There's no reason to address it. But I mean, other than the fact that it's important. Kathleen Kennedy's the best thing to happen to Lucasfilm since George Lucas started Lucasfilm.
I think in 10 years, we're going to look back at this and say that of all the things George Lucas did during his time running Lucasfilm, hiring Kathleen Kennedy to take his place was one of the shrewdest, best decisions he made.
Yep.
Absolutely. And I think what was essential about the timing of the moment, too, is she did it at Celebration, where if you just took a cursory look at the audience, you could tell that the female audience was huge. And I, you know, I don't have numbers on this, but certainly sizable, you know, and an equal and should be recognized portion of the audience was there. And to have them actually recognized both on stage and in the material, I think, was essential.
Yeah, it definitely gave me warm fuzzies to hear her say that, because, I mean, it's the whole, like, old stereotype of girls not liking sci-fi or, you know, not going to conventions is just so odd to me, because this has been my fourth Celebration. And
I mean, if you say that, you've never been to a convention.
Yeah. Even from Celebration 3 was the first one I went to in 2005. And even that was like at least, you know, half women there. And I mean, now it's like you see, I saw so many little kids dressed up like Sabine and you know, Leia and Padme, and it was awesome. And like, it's so odd to me when people act like girls don't like Star Wars, because it's so not what my experience, especially after going to Celebration.
I have this hope and I have this feeling that this year the fanboy tears are going to be especially delicious.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point, Jonathan, that, you know, those comments and, you know, the pictures that they have of Daisy Ridley, you know, if she's not the one going through the hero's journey, she's definitely super important. And
yeah,
I mean, I love Leia, and it's not to disparage Leia, but you know, obviously her arc kind of gets pushed off to the side in Return of the Jedi.
Well, Leia was extraordinarily progressive for 1977. Yeah. Having Daisy Ridley lead a franchise of this exceptional size and caliber would be extraordinarily progressive for 2015.
Yeah. So
which is a little sad, but
that's another conversation. Yeah. But it would be still would be a very good thing.
Yeah. And now I'm looking at an interview right now with Daisy Ridley, and there's a picture of her. Is Rey staring at BB-8, and I just want to say I really hope that BB-8 is her I don't know if it's her droid or if she at least gets to interact with him somehow, because that would be adorable. I want BB-8 to be in every scene of this movie.
I hope Daisy got lessons from Mark on how to interact with inanimate objects.
Yes. Yeah, and like that's the thing, like I you know, knowing that they filmed together, like, it gives me so much hope for that, you know, character arc. And Brian and I were talking about this in the car today, that, you know, how much hope I have that Daisy is, that Rey is Luke's daughter. But even if she is, I have a hard time thinking they'll confirm that in this movie. They might make us wait for the second or the third to actually confirm.
Oh.
Because, I mean, come on.
That would be such an awful wait.
That would be so cruel.
They have to tell us during the movie at least. Come on.
You know J.J. Abrams. He's all about his mystery boxes.
What's in the box? What's in the box?
Yeah.
Star Wars has never waited to tell us anything before, so.
No, never. Okay, so then we have, you know, the whole narration and everything, and, you know, the you have that power too thing, and that's the other reason I feel like she has to be related somehow, or whoever he's talking to has to be related somehow, because, you know, the whole narration is about family, you mm-hmm. know. So for them to pick that in order to convey the message that some random person has the Force doesn't make sense, you know. And you know, I have all sorts of thoughts and feelings about what Luke has been doing. And, you know, there's all these rumors about, you know, he's off on his own being a hermit. And I like to think that he's kind of, if he is off on his own, he's been like...
He's off grid, slowly rebuilding the Jedi ranks in secret.
Because if the galaxy has gone to shit since Endor, you know, maybe he has to lay low in order to rebuild the Jedi. And, you know... Rey has to go somewhere for protection, and then he reunites. I mean, this is not the first time that would happen that children are separated from their parents to protect them, but, you know, this is all just baseless speculation.
So, moving on in the trailer.
Then we get all sorts of cool shots, like X-Wings flying, yay! Don't look at me like
I am going to need every last X-Wing toy released.
Every X-Wing pilot action figure.
Yes. So, yeah, we get this shot of four or five X-Wings flying over water.
Which is like the first teaser we saw, the shot of them.
But the shot is even more spectacular this time.
And Poe is triumphantly cheering, so obviously he's just done something awesome. Can I just say now that I'm really super excited to see more X-Wing pilot action?
Pilot action was something I desperately missed in the prequel trilogy. Yeah. That looks like it's going to be making a comeback, and I couldn't be happier.
You didn't think spinning was a good trip?
It might have been, but I mean, like, the beginning of Revenge of the Sith is awesome because of that, you know, flying action. But I missed the whole, like, squadron dynamic, you know. I mean, it's not, like, super strong in the original trilogy, but it's strong enough for them to spin off 10 books out of the idea.
It says a lot that, for my money, the best choreographed action sequence in the whole saga was the starfighter sequences from the Battle of Endor.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I love the idea of them, of seeing this new, you know, X-Wing squadron, and... The droid builders said they built all these domes to go on the X-Wings. So obviously there's several of them. And Brian pointed out that the markings on Poe Dameron's helmet are very similar to markings on another pilot's helmet, Wedge Antilles. So either there's some sort of familial relationship or squadron relationship, because... I am going to firmly believe that Poe is in whatever incarnation this is of Rogue Squadron. And you can't convince me otherwise until the movie says so.
If you're making a movie and you're going to call it Star Wars and you have an X-Wing squadron, why would you not have Rogue Squadron?
That's a good question.
It's just a no-brainer for me.
Either Rogue or Red. It has to be
Rogue or Red, right?
It has to be one of those.
Although the paint is blue, so hopefully Rogue, because Red would be weird.
Yeah, that's true. That would be weird. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing more pilot action. So then we get the first shot we've seen of Kylo Ren from the front swing his lightsaber. And I was kind of worried that I might think he was kind of goofy looking, but between the shots of him in the teaser and then seeing his costume in the exhibit, he's very imposing. At least for his costume. He's very tall. So you can speculate on who is playing him. There's two characters it might be, or two actors it might be.
Although, boy, if it actually is hope against all hope, Gwendolyn Christie, how awesome would that be? It's totally Adam Driver, yeah, but...
because he was the one at the cast reading.
Yeah.
So. But what do you guys think of Kylo Ren?
You know, at first he looked like Darth Revan, and everyone was like, oh my gosh, it's Darth Revan, and then realized, wait, that's not quite the right helmet. But it's a similar look, and it's a sinister look, but it's not the same as Vader's death mask. It gives you a different image of the character, more intense, more passionate almost, and you wonder, it's mysterious enough, because it's not really a face, so you wonder, what is this guy hiding, and what's his deal exactly?
Yeah, it definitely seems like a mask that's not, like, it's not like Vader's life support, you know. You know, it's something that this, you know, this guy can take on and off. At least that's the impression I got. And his lightsaber looks a lot less dorky now that I've seen it in the trailer and seen it up close, where you can see it actually. It won't cut your thumb off. Don't worry. Don't worry, guys.
It is really cute. He used his shop class lightsaber. Credit to our friend Nicole for that joke.
Yeah.
That first shot of him right there where he swings the saber, mm-hmm, kind of sold me on the broad saber or cross guard saber, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Because it's very, I mean, it looks like a medieval sword. It's a very heavy swing. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of got that same weight behind it that Vader had in the original trilogy. His motions were, I mean, part of that was the costume. They couldn't move very quickly, but... you know, he had that very, all of his strikes were very heavy, very powerful, and he kind of looks the same way. So I don't think he's going to be a speed demon like Maul was.
It'll be real. I'm really interested to see like the behind the scenes clips when they finally get around to showing us of whoever is playing Kylo Ren, cough Adam Driver, learning to move in this costume and use that lightsaber. I think that'll be really cool to see. So then we see Rey, Finn, and BB-8 running away in the desert. There's TIE fighters attacking, shooting them. So, you know, this kind of also leads me to wonder if BB-8 belongs to Rey. You know, because we've seen him in the desert before. Our first shot of him was rolling through the desert and... you know, we've seen a bunch of shots with her, with him, so. And Finn's got his civilian clothes on, so obviously this happens after the shots of him in the Stormtrooper outfit. This kind of makes me want to go through and, like, put all the shots in what I think is chronological order. Mm-hmm. And then after that, we get another shot of Kylo Ren in a battle stance, and the Stormtroopers are behind him in the background. And I think it was you, Jonathan, in your breakdown, you had some theories about, you know, what's happening in the shot and how it relates to Finn as far as leaving the Stormtrooper ranks.
Yeah, so if you pause the shot, you can see in the background that there are a lot of people, most of them not Stormtroopers. They look like villagers or something like that. In that first shot we talked about, there's a looks like a teepee, tent, yurt kind of deal, mm-hmm, in the background as well. And everything's on fire. And we saw those flame troopers in the exhibit.
Yeah.
So... I'm thinking that Kylo is looking for something.
I wonder what it could be.
I'm not sure if that's Finn or if it's some sort of artifact or something. Hmm. Something I thought of, and this really involves some of the later shots too, is that there's got to be a reason that Finn defects. if he's a stormtrooper. So, he went through the academy or whatever. He's in service. He's been with them for a while if he's actually a stormtrooper in service.
Right.
So he knows that the Empire or the First Order or whatever is not the nicest group in the world. I'm wondering if Finn is actually present at this village burning, if that's what it is, then goes back and then has second thoughts about what happened there. And that's what causes him to defect.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I said I kind of want to go through and put all the shots in chronological order, because, the later parts of the teaser when Finn is yanking off his helmet, obviously he's distressed about something, something bad has happened, and if any of you have read the Servants of the Empire books, one of the things I love most about them is because it goes in, into explaining what it would take for someone to have to leave the Empire, or start thinking badly of the Empire. Mm-hmm. And I really like that kind of idea. And it reminds me of Tycho Salju, because, he's born to, serve the Empire and goes into the academy, and it takes something like Alderaan to finally, make him want to defect. So.
And what would be even worse is if Finn had to participate, because it looks like when he took off his helmet that he's struggling, almost like he looks like he's about to vomit or something. I wonder if he had to participate in this attack, and it's so repugnant to him that he realizes, oh, I have to leave the First Order or the Empire, whatever this is, I have to leave. Another thing I might connect it to is that flaming scene we see Luke in.
Yeah.
Could that be the same village? Could he be visiting afterwards and investigating what happened and why Kylo Ren was there?
Ooh.
That's interesting.
That's an angle I like.
I like that idea. Yeah. And I just pulled up my pictures from the exhibit, and on the Flame Trooper placard it says, "Specialized Stormtroopers of the First Order. Flame Troopers carry incendiary weapons that can transform any battlefield into an infernal blaze." And like you said before, Jonathan, they pick these things for a very particular reason. Mm-hmm. Every prop was in there, and every sign, every word was in there for a reason. So I definitely would put two and two together that these flame troopers are the cause of whatever battlefield is happening there. Yeah. And we haven't mentioned it specifically before. We've been dancing around it, but the fact that the Empire is called the First Order and the Rebellion or New Republic or whatever, the good guys, are called the Resistance. And I think it's really interesting that they didn't mention this in the panel at all. It was just something that people noticed in the exhibit. Again, because J.J. Abrams likes his mysteries. So I definitely, it makes you wonder what the hell has happened in the past 30 years. And I love that they are, I love the EU, and I'll always go back and read those books, but, I keep saying if they're going to change what we know, go all out, change everything.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the question is, if they're being super creative, a lot of people are speculating, is this a post-apocalyptic setting? Has the war just devastated the whole galaxy, or is it just the one planet, Jakku? Because the First Order could be an Imperial Revivalist organization, or it could be an Ascendant Empire. Yep. The Resistance is a bit harder, because it sounds like a small movement, or a movement that isn't in majority power anymore. And you wonder, did the Rebels lose the war? Like, what's going on? Because the Empire is all this shiny new tech, and though the X-Wings look amazing, we don't really know whether or not the Rebels have, continued their fight as well.
Or could it be something along the lines of a long simmering Cold War, and the New Republic has funded a resistance movement within Imperial territory?
Yeah. That's true.
Or like the Imperial Remnant, it's, they've kept their, maybe they had, the Battle of Jakku, and then maybe they just said, we can't keep fighting these battles, and maybe there was some sort of treaty, whatever.
Yeah, it's
maybe
true.
Maybe the First Order is the New Republic.
Yeah, I see what you did there. So we get the shot of, you know, we have Kylo Ren in the battle stance, another shot of him, which I think is really, I like that shot a lot. And then there's some sort of gathering with a bunch of stormtroopers. And in the back, there's a big, huge banner of what I'm assuming is a symbol of the First Order. And a figure standing in the middle, which I guess you could assume is Kylo Ren. We don't know.
So that particular gathering, I've been spending a lot of time.
No,
Empire. I know.
Have you really?
Shocking. And if you look at the figures, there's the central figure, which may or may not be Kylo Ren, because it looks like it looks almost like an Imperial officer with a cape. And then next to him, there's the guy that looks like the Chrome Trooper that we see later.
Yeah.
Then on both sides, there are other figures with hats and cloaks, and it's not really clear if those are Imperial officers or
Imperials with funny hats and robes.
Right, if those are the funny hatted robe guys, the advisors from Return of the Jedi. So that could be a political organization. Maybe Kylo Ren's in charge, maybe he's not. You know, it's interesting.
Yeah, that's a very, very cool, that might be one of the most interesting shots of the trailer as far as what the implications are. And they're on a cold, snowy planet. You know, it kind of makes me think, is this related to the planet that we see in the first teaser where Kylo Ren ignites his lightsaber? You get a good shot of the new stormtroopers in here. And then we get some more close-ups. We get a close-up of Rey, which she looks so Star Wars-y in that close-up. I don't know what that means, but it really does. She looks like she belongs in this movie.
Is that the shot that someone else superimposed above it, the picture of Luke looking at?
No, that's later on.
Okay.
This is the one of her sitting down. It looks like she's looking up. Then we get some more TIE fighters swooping in. You could say this is probably related to the shot earlier where Finn and Rey and BB-8 are running. And then there's a really interesting shot of a TIE fighter firing in a hangar.
Full of other
TIE fighters and stormtroopers. And it looks like this is in some sort of docking bay. And then right after that, there's a shot of Finn yanking off his helmet, the one we talked about before, where he looks like he's distressed. And then right after that is a shot of ships flying towards a Star Destroyer. And I'm wondering if all those three shots are related, because it looks like he's in a hangar. The first shot is in a hangar. And then when he's yanking off his helmet, it also looks like he's inside of a ship just because of the lighting and the background. So I want to know if you guys had any thoughts about those and how they might be related.
I think they might be related, but out of order. If we're going with a theory, and this is my favorite theory too, that Finn's escaping and defecting, I think he's in the TIE fighter. I think he's blasting his way out and then maybe gets shot down somehow, and that's how he ends up on Jakku.
I like that theory, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I also noticed when I froze the frame of the TIE fighter shooting up the hangar, that's a different TIE variant than we see in the other shots. At first I thought it was the same TIE, and they put like a window on the back and it's got a cannon that fires backwards. I still think it has a window on the back, but if you look at the, I'm getting really nerdy about ships now.
Who are you talking to?
Yeah. If you pause the video when the fighter is all the way on the right side of the screen and you look at, right up against the wings on the inside, there are large cylinders around it.
Yeah.
Which, if you look at the other TIE fighters, aren't present. Also, that back window, I think there's another shot somewhere where you can see one of the other TIEs on Jakku, and it doesn't have that back window. And then the cannon that's mounted underneath the cockpit is not present on the other ones either.
Interesting.
So I think that may be like a two-person TIE or a heavy TIE or something like that.
Yeah. Well, one thing that's interesting about the TIEs is that the regular TIEs, right, they're color-flip TIE fighters, so they're like dark on the inside and white on the outside, but this other TIE that we see with the special gun, it's kind of chromish. In fact, the color scheme reminds me of the color scheme of the Chrome Trooper we see later on, too, so maybe that character's TIE.
That's what I thought as well, like maybe it's like the Inquisitor's TIE or Vader's TIE, and they're, you know, they're shooting up, and Finn is like, what, you know, why you, my, the people who are supposed to be in charge are firing on me. What the hell is going on? Definitely interesting to think about. And so after that, we get a shot of the, what people are calling the Chrome Trooper marching down a corridor. It looks like it's some sort of Star Destroyer or, definitely some sort of Imperial installation because of the lighting in the background. The same type of lighting we see on Star Destroyers and the Death Star. It looks like an interesting character. That's all I know about it. I don't know anything about it because I haven't kept up with rumors. But
I love the look. I love the cape, the confident stride. It definitely looks like if Kylo Ren's a Vader-like figure, then, or maybe this is like the secondary Vader-like figure, because it definitely looks like the Chrome Trooper is like this enforcer character. And I don't keep up with rumors either, although my inner hope is that it's Gwendolyn Christie, because it would be awesome to have a female villain antagonist played by Gwendolyn Christie.
Yeah.
It had a very Gwendolyn Christie-like gait.
Mm-hmm.
And if you watch Game of Thrones, the way she carries herself in armor is very confident. And can we talk about the red stuff on the left side of the screen?
Yeah, because it looks like part of it still looks like a ship, and the other part it looks like natural formation or something.
Like rock or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It looks kind of ominous.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure what it is.
Yeah. Then we get a shot of BB-8 picking his head around the corner of the Millennium Falcon, which
is the cutest thing.
It's adorable, and it makes me wonder, so BB-8 is on the Falcon, which means that Rey is on the Falcon, so is Rey the person flying the Falcon?
That would be so cool.
I would.
I'm going to cry if that happens.
My kingdom for that happening.
Yeah. Either her saying, you know, Daddy taught me how to fly it, or Uncle Han taught me how to fly it, whatever. It'll be, amazing. And also, I've read a lot of stuff about people thinking that the Falcon is not in Han's possession. Well, obviously not in Han's possession, but that it's boarded or somehow, because why is he peeking his head around otherwise? Something bad has happened. And then we get that shot of Rey on Jakku, which everyone is comparing to the shot of Luke on Tatooine. And then the shot of Anakin also on Tatooine. And again, that makes me want to cry because it has so many implications as to the lineage of those characters.
Yeah, I had my doubts about the lineage, but once I saw that shot, I'm pretty convinced now.
Yeah. I don't want to get my hopes up that she's his daughter, you know, because I mean, the logical thing, everyone would assume that she's Han and Leia's daughter, because, you know, Han and Leia obviously are going to get married, and Luke can't get married because he doesn't have a relationship with anyone, and people can't put two and two together that how people have babies, apparently.
Well, I think the reason also the Han and Leia ancestry is attractive, at least to me, is between her flying the Falcon, maybe, and between her being Force sensitive, it's like it's like she's a Jaina Solo analog. And even though the EU is completely gone, to have one character representing, even in that minute way, that legacy, I think would be great.
Yeah, I mean, I would like them to all have kids, but you know, we'll see.
Do y'all think Han and Leia are together?
That's an interesting
idea. If you asked me before Celebration, I would have said yes. Now I don't know.
Yeah. It would be really interesting if they're not. That's... I'll give my opinions on that later. But okay. The next shot is Finn on the ground in distress. He's wearing his civilian clothes. Every shot of Finn, he's in distress. I swear to God. And there's a hand reaching out to him, which is obviously Rey, and he just stares at it, and then he grabs it and he pulls him up. So obviously she's helping him. I love his civilian clothes, his jacket. I want it. I don't care that it's a boy's jacket. I love it. So obviously he lands on Jakku. He is on the run. He changes, and then maybe people find him, or, you know, that's kind of what seems most logical. And then there's some TIE fighters, which I thought one of them was the Chrome Trooper, but someone pointed out to me that it wasn't the same helmet, that it was a different helmet there, but it has the red stripes, which I think that was, I read that in your breakdown, Jonathan, and that made me happy because I totally didn't think of that the first time.
Yeah, that was a little EU fanboy moment. Mm-hmm. I honestly don't think it's the 181st.
Yeah.
But if it is, oh boy.
I mean, they don't even have to say it. They can just, you know. I mean, I think they might do that if only for the same reason they canonized the 501st. Because, like, no, the 501st was an EU thing at first. It was in Survivor's Quest. And then they canonized it in Revenge of the Sith. And they have a 181st within the 501st, other TIE fighters. So it would be interesting. I could see that. I can see them doing that as like a nod to the fans, not even the EU. But then that shot is so cool because they're chasing the Falcon into the Star Destroyer wreckage.
Super Star Destroyer, I point out. Which makes you wonder, how big was that battle that a Super Star Destroyer belly flopped and crash landed onto a planet and is now half buried in sand?
And like, and what was that Star Destroyer? What was the name of that Star Destroyer? So then there's more fade to black and we hear Chewie. And then comes on to a shot of Han and Chewie on the Falcon. And
we're home.
Yeah. And then everyone went bananas. And even me, like, I'm not a huge Han fan, you know, but that shot made me cry because it's just like, yes, that's Star Wars, you know, them picking those lines in particular was just absolutely, absolutely perfect. So of course, everyone has to speculate on, is this the first time they've been on the Falcon in like 30 or so years? Is it that they're landing somewhere and that's when he says we're home? Has Han been in exile? Has Han been a prisoner? What the heck's going on? Why have they been away? Why are they home? Why has Chewie not been destroyed by a moon?
too soon.
Yeah, too soon. But then your question before was, are Han and Leia together? This leads me to believe that maybe they're not. Maybe they had a relationship that broke up because those are the things that happen.
Wouldn't that mean they'd have to kill Leia?
I was going to say something about that, but you did it for me. That would be really interesting because everyone says, don't bank on your expectations, you know, of Luke building the academy and blah, 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 and all this happening. And Han and Leia being married are...
Even non-EU fans were taking that one for granted.
The number one expectation I think it would be interesting if they are together but not married. You know, because Leia has the type of job where she would have to be on the run, on the move all the time. And Han, too. You know, especially if he stays a general after Endor. You know, they might not have had a chance to stay together or be married. It's they'll be really interesting. that wraps up the teaser. And
we wrangled a whole hour out of that.
Like, you're surprised. We could talk longer. So before we sign off, any last thoughts about the teaser or any lingering questions? You know, I was getting really annoyed with the whole secrecy around this movie, and I wasn't shy in at wanting to know more and being annoyed about it. But after seeing this teaser, I think I could go until December not knowing much more and being okay, because I feel like they've teased me just enough.
This was finally them giving you enough tone and feel to feel good about the movie.
And that whole monologue like made me feel so much better about this movie because they're remembering it's about family, you know. I hope that theme is present, and you know, I had been more excited about Rogue One, and I still am really excited. But after seeing this teaser, like, I feel so much more excited about Force Awakens than I did. You know, even if it tramples on all the stories that I've loved for the past 25 years, I think this could be a fantastic movie. So.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, they gave us just enough information to be able to speculate on and not sound like crazy people.
yeah.
And it hit the right emotional cues to get, 88 million views in 24 hours. It's clear people are excited about Star Wars again.
Yeah. I have never seen such a unified reaction to a trailer. Like, I have hardly anyone has not liked it. And that's crazy.
Yeah, I think it brings the sense of magic and wonder back to Star Wars. Like, before, when they first announced the movie, I thought, okay, kind of cool, but, you know, I'll read the spoilers because I don't care that much. This movie, this teaser not only convinced me, one, to try to go spoiler-free because I want to enjoy this movie, but two, that it was going to be a great movie and that even if it changes everything I expect, obviously the EU is gone, but, you know, I want Han and Leia to be married. I want certain things to happen. But because they've shown they get Star Wars, they can go any direction they want and I can trust them doing things right, that I'll go along with it out of a sense of mystery. And it's just exciting to not know anything about what's going to happen in a Star Wars movie, because we didn't have that with the prequels. We had all sorts of things, you know, the prequels not feeling like Star Wars when we knew where they were going. Here, the look is right. The music is right. The dialogue is right. Everything is right. And I just can't wait to see what they have in store.
Yeah, and for me, between the panel itself and this trailer, I'd been saying for a long time to folks who were scared about Disney buying Star Wars that if you like what they're doing with Marvel, you should be okay with this. But in the back of my head, I've got this little nagging question to myself, like, okay, is it really going to be okay? After this weekend, after that panel, I am confident Star Wars is in the right hands. And I couldn't be happier. I am 100% on board.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I'm really excited to just keep speculating and, you know, watching this trailer over and over and over. I mean, I can't count how many times I've watched it since the panel. I keep watching it and I keep finding more things, and like the music. I said one of my favorite things about Celebration was just walking down the halls and hearing that music, and then you're like, oh, someone's watching it on their phone. Because it's like, it's the Force theme, and then it's like, it kind of turns into the end of like the theme when Yoda lifts the X-Wing, like the bum, 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 bum,
yeah. Bum,
bum, because I'm a nerd and I picked that out. So yeah, it's, I can't wait to find out more. And I'm kind of like, do I want to find out more? Like, I know I see like what they're doing with Age of Ultron and like releasing so many clips and so many trailers, and I'm kind of like, I want to know more about Star Wars, but I kind of don't want them to reveal too much.
For the first time, they've got my trust, and I'm totally happy to go spoiler free.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like I said, the only thing I really would like to know is about Luke. But part of me also wants to, like, not know, because if it does turn out that Daisy Ridley is playing his daughter, I might have a... I told Brian he's going to have to carry me out of the theater if that happens. Like, I won't be able to walk. I'll just be sobbing and saying, thank you, J.J. Abrams, for giving me everything I've ever wanted.
All right, well, shall we wrap it up there?
Sure.
Okay, gentlemen, before we let you go, hey, where can we find you on Twitter?
I can be found at Admiral Jello.
And I'm at Hurting Nerfs.
Fantastic. Okay. Well, on that note, this episode of Tosche Station Radio has been brought to you in part by Her Universe and Audible.com. Check out the links, keep the site running, and keep the lights on. On Twitter, you can find us with the handles @Tosche_station. That's the official show account. You can find Nancy with Nancy Pants. That's Nancy with an I. You can find me with Lane Winry, LaneWinree. We're available on the iTunes Store and the Stitcher Store. If you like what you hear, please do leave a review. It helps us grow the show. You can find our columns and news and tons of audio from Celebration at Tosche. Apache-Station.net. Thanks for listening to another episode. We will catch you again on Monday with a new celebration subject.
Bye.
So long. This podcast has been brought to you by Majestic Giraffe Productions and is the official podcast of TashiStation.net. All Star Wars names, music, and logos are property of their respective trademark and copyright holders. Tashi Station Radio is not endorsed by Lucasfilm or any division of the company. Now go pick up some power converters.